Before we begin our study this morning, we want to pray together. Would you join me? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. I want to review with you some things that we have been covering over the last few weeks. We've been talking about storms and how important it is to be built for the storm. Yeshua says we need to be well built. What does that mean? He says it means we come to him. It means we listen to his teachings and we put his teachings into practice in our own lives. Such a person, he says, is able to remain standing after the storm. That he's like a house that's well built, built on rock. And that's to be compared to someone whose house comes crashing down because they did not take care to build on a solid foundation, the solid foundation of hearing and doing Yeshua's word. It's not enough to hear, we've got to do it. Yeshua wants us to be strong, to remain standing. He wants us not only to survive the storm, but to thrive after the storm. And that key is to listen to his teachings about how to live and put them into practice. We have also been talking about how important it is to take concern for the city that God has called us to. And I want to remind you of what Jeremiah said. You can turn to Jeremiah 29. We'll look at a few verses again, which we looked at recently, Jeremiah 29, verses 4 through 7. It was a word that God brought to the Jewish people when they were in Babylon. And so I want you to think about the condition of the Jewish people in Babylon. And you have to deeply understand that the Babylonians were the enemies of Israel. They had taken Israel captive, invaded the land of Israel, used their military force, their power, their mighty armies to take control of the Holy Land of Israel, the Promised Land, and then to forcibly remove the Jewish people from Jerusalem to Babylon. They took them from the place where the temple was. They took them from the place where God had promised to do so much and had already done so much, and removed them to a foreign land that was devoted to magic. It was devoted to false gods. It was, in some ways, a terrible place to live, a hostile place. And you know how hard it is to have a good attitude about people who do you wrong. Imagine losing your country, but not just that, being taken as captives out of your own country to someone else's country, removed without rights, without true citizenship, without the autonomy that comes from being a native citizen, and they're brought to Babylon. And this is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to those that I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. That one statement is so provocative because he identifies himself as the Lord Almighty, the one who is all-powerful. He's saying, what just happened to you, bringing you from Jerusalem to Babylon, is not because I'm weak. It's not because I'm not able to do all things or anything in this world. It's not because I've abandoned you. It's because I have brought you into exile. You turned away from me, and I've removed you into another land, and there I'm going to deal with you differently than I dealt with you in Israel. But I am still your God. And I am the God of Israel. He doesn't say, okay, so now I'm the God of Babylon. But know this, he was the God even over Babylon because he's the God of the whole world. But he remains the God of Israel. And then he says something. It's a comment on military history. It's a comment on the power of governments, he says, I carried you into exile. It wasn't the doing of the Babylonians, it was my doing. And it's so important to understand that God exercises his sovereign authority over the Jewish people, whether they are in the land of Israel or they are out of the land of Israel. And then he speaks these words that are surprising and even difficult because they're words about normal life. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce, marry, have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons, and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, and do not decrease. Isn't that an interesting word? It's one part to say increase. It's another one to say do not decrease. When God brings us into whatever place he brings us into, this is a word that's important. Do not decrease. There is an adjustment. There is a need to get used to the new situation. But the Lord is saying to Israel in Babylon, do not decrease, rather increase. So God is saying to Israel, it's so important that you establish a normal life in Babylon, even though the circumstances seem abhorrent to you and undesirable to you. I tell you, I want you to live normally. I want you to see my hand upon you. I want you to understand I'm with you. And then these next words are tough words. Also, verse 7, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. It's not an accident that you ended up in Babylon. It's not because others have more power than you had. It's because I've carried you into exile and I'm going to deal with you in specific ways. I want to use these new circumstances to retrain you, to reinvigorate you in the matters of the Spirit. Seek the peace and the prosperity of the city. Seek the peace and the prosperity of the city. Think about what's good for the city. Do you know how hard that is when you're in a situation where you cannot stand the city you've been brought to? Or you cannot stand the people who have taken control of your life? Have you ever felt powerless? Have you ever felt the victim of other people's decisions? And God is saying, even though it looks like that's what's happened, I am your king. I am watching over you. And as someone who has come into Babylon, I want you to have a special attitude. Seek the peace and the prosperity of this city. It is so much easier. You can understand this. It is so much easier to pray against those who have done you harm than it is to seek their good. Look at the words that follow. They're so strong and they're so difficult. Pray to the Lord for it. Well, I've been with a lot of believers over the years and with a lot of people since we moved back to America about 8 years ago, and I have noticed one thing, that for the believers in America, it's very difficult often to pray for our own cities and for our country. It's much easier, I've noticed, for believers to pray against certain things than to pray for the good of the city, the good of the country. It's a pity, and I'll tell you why. Because we are disciples of Yeshua, and he taught us to pray differently. He said, anyone can bless their enemies. I mean, bless their friends. Anyone can do it. Everyone can do that. But I say to you, bless your enemies. How dare he say that to us? We don't like it, do we? I can tell you, you can read religious things on the internet, and there's very little regard for the teachings of Yeshua on this matter. And instead, there's criticism, complaining, critiquing, which, if done properly and in the right attitude, can be very useful. But in general, from the believers, it's not rising to that level. It's something that has a very different tenor and a very different attitude than you see here. Pray to the Lord for it. You would think, if you consume Christian media, and even a lot of Messianic Jewish media, I'm going to tell you the truth on this, that the words of God were something like this: complain against your country, criticize it, find fault with it, look with hopeless despair at the condition of the country. Because I have sent you the bad news, and you're to bring it to every miserable soul. You would think those are the teachings of Yeshua. But Yeshua came at a time when Israel was in a similar predicament, in that Rome was ruling over Israel, and the ways of Greece and the philosophical mindset of Greece and the culture of Rome and the governmental structure and the economic structure of Rome were ruling over Israel. And he could have said something very, very different. But he told us to have a view that's much more prophetic and to understand God allows us to be in such situations so that we can have an impact on the world around us. Pray to the Lord for it. Well, don't you want to just change your Bible to say pray to the Lord against it? That's the way I think some people think. Pray to the Lord for it. Because, now here's the rationale. Because if it prospers, you also will prosper. I want you to tell someone sitting next to you that if Jacksonville prospers, you'll prosper. If Jacksonville prospers, you'll prosper. Okay? If Duval County prospers, you'll prosper. Tell someone nearby. If Duval County. So that raises the question, if St. John's County prospers, will you prosper? Yes. Clay County? Are you sure? Okay, be strong in this. Nassau County? I asked last night, if McLaney prospers, will you prosper? Northeast Florida. You see, if the area that God has brought you to prospers, you will prosper. As important as it is to bring your tithe to the Lord, it's also important to pray for and to seek the prosperity of the place that you live in. This is part of God's economic plan and part of the way that God works. If it prospers, you will prosper. So we've had a chance to put some of this into practice, both the issues of how to deal with storms, how to face storms, and also how to seek the good of the city. I think of several storms, the storm of death that touched Karen Phipps, who passed away recently, and she was buried on Monday. And her husband, Dennis, now must face the new chapter of life without Karen by his side. That's a storm that he's going through. I think of the storms that have impacted the Philippines and the thousands who lost their lives. And more than that, the hundreds of thousands who have lost their homes and been displaced. There have been whole towns that have just washed away to sea and no longer exist. And Ruth was telling me that one of the great dilemmas that the people who survived the storm are facing is do they bury the bodies or do they distribute food? Can you imagine being in such a situation where corpses have just piled up? Little children without parents are running through the city looking for family that is gone. but a terrible storm. We faced a very different kind of storm right here in our neighborhood with the prospect of a bikini bar. It's, if you call it that, an exotic dancing bar, if you call it that, or whatever it should be called. And we faced that storm, and we thanked the Lord because we had a victory on Thursday. We had a victory. But I want to be clear, we had a victory for now. Remember this, you can't have a victory if you don't have a battle. Ah-ha-ha. So you know what that means? If the victory is for now, there will be a battle again in the future. You cannot be an overcomer unless there's something that you actually need to overcome. God has made us to have victory. That's the good news. Here's the other side of it. That means you're made to go through difficult times. That's what Yeshua was talking about when he said that you'll face storms and your house needs to stand after the storm. He wants us to be prepared. He doesn't want us to think that we just need to escape during times of difficulty. No, he wants us to go through. You can read about the life of Paul and you see he was built for the storm. He went through storms. He was shipwrecked. He was arrested. He was beaten many times. Even tortured, we would say. It's important to be built for the storm. I want to talk to you about the public hearing because I want you to get a picture of what does it mean to put into practice as a congregation and as a greater community, as a member of our neighborhood, a member of the greater community all around us. What does it mean to put into practice the ideas of going through the storm on one hand and also seeking the good of the city on the other hand? Because we had a victory, but you know what? We've still got uninhabited buildings, just like we did before. So in one sense, we haven't had enough victory. We have to have more victory. I want to take a few moments to recognize the different ways that people took action faithfully during these last couple of weeks. 2 weeks ago when I told you about the plans to locate this particular business at the former Burger King around the corner, we encouraged you to do something, and I want to commend the group of women that went over right after the service that Saturday and put their feet on that Burger King parking lot, walked around 7 times, right? Even blew the shofar before and after, right? And so when I saw him afterwards, I said, well, did it fall down? It turns out we didn't really want it to fall down because that would have made it cheaper to put the other thing. Yeah. But they put their feet down. You know, there's a principle God said to Abraham, where you put your feet, I'll give it to you. And so you have to learn to put your feet down, to stand on the territory that God wants to give you. Before we move to this location, this beautiful location on the lake. Isn't it gorgeous today? You can look out the window right now. Don't look at me for a minute. Look out how pretty it is. It's gorgeous out there. You know, sometimes when I'm speaking to you, I don't want to look at you. I want to look over there and go outside. But before we decided to locate here, we put our feet down here. We walked around the area. We prayed. We tried to understand plans that God would give to us. We tried to understand the resources that we would need and to understand what did God want to provide in the steps, the phases that we would face in order to locate here. We put our feet down here, and that's a first step. It's so important to understand whether you are to be responsible. And one of the ways you do that is by physically locating yourself on the land, on the place, in the area, and then praying. And if God gives you authority, if he gives you vision, you've got a sense of responsibility. Because wherever you're given authority, you have some responsibility. It doesn't mean you become the owner. It means you simply become the representative of what God is wanting to do. He puts things in your heart. He put things in your mind so that you know how to pray and how to act. And so I commend the ladies who went over that first Saturday. And then the Wednesday a week ago, where we had a small group that went over and prayed, that during our monthly prayer meeting, they went over, we went over, and we just stood on the grounds, and we prayed, and we asked God to give us vision and understanding. We prayed against, yes, it was much easier, and then we found we had to pray for, that was much harder. And then there were those who took time last weekend to go over after services to pray on the grounds. And so I want to ask everybody who put their feet on the ground over there and prayed at any time in the last 2 weeks, I want you to just stand up for a minute. I want to recognize you. If you did that, whether you went with one group or another group, thank you for doing that. Thank you for taking that responsibility. Now, other people were not able to go over there, but they prayed in other ways. They prayed from home. They prayed with friends. They prayed sometimes often. And so if you prayed in any way regarding what was going on in the hearing, would you mind standing up for just a minute? Now, if you thought about praying, don't stand up. Okay, so if you prayed, or you went over there and prayed, everyone who prayed, if you stood up before, I'll let everyone stand up and just look around. That's a good show of commitment from you all. So congratulations, thank you that you took such action. Now, there were also people who wrote letters or sent emails or even made phone calls to the Planning Commission staff. And so if you did that, would you raise your hand right now? I just want to see. That's pretty good. Why don't you stand up too so we can see your faces? Good for you. Thank you very much. And then there were the people who attended the Planning Commission hearing on Thursday, which gave us a foretaste of eternity, because it just went on and on and on. But not a perfect taste. And I want to commend everybody who filled out one of the blue speaker's cards at the hearing. Because whether you spoke or not, it's important to know something. That meeting went on for so long. Actually, our part of the hearing didn't begin until 7. We were there from 12:30 waiting. And so we just had to keep waiting. And then there was another part of the hearing on one item that took 3 hours before us. I was so unprepared for that, because I had seen something that said the meeting will begin at 1 o'clock, and this part of the hearing might not start until 2:30. And so I'm thinking, okay, till 4 o'clock. You know, we'll probably be out just after 4 o'clock. Hallelujah. That's good. You know, I'm going to be there for the whole time just to get familiar. And then they distributed the agenda. And as they were introducing the agenda, I noticed our item was on page 3, in the middle of page 3. And they went through page 2 and said, there's nothing here for us to do. They went through the top of page 3 and said, we're not going to deal with this today. And I thought, this is so fantastic. We might be first up. I was so wrong. Because they had decided, it just wasn't clear to us, that they would deal with this at the end. because they expected so many people. They wanted to give plenty of time, and they were prepared to go to the wee hours of the morning in order to let everyone who wanted to speak have a chance to express themselves. So some of you had to leave because you came at 1 o'clock and you were there at 2 o'clock and you were there at 3 or 4, but you just had to go because of the time constraints that you were facing. But if you filled out a blue card, I want to tell you what happened. At some point in the evening, they read your card and they called out your name. And if you weren't there, one of us said they had to go. And then the chairman noted your opposition and if there was any comment you made. So your voice was heard. It was very important. It was also interesting. There was one case that was interesting. Brenda Miller filled out a card. She was here last night. She didn't know what had happened, but the chairman got a little bit confused. So he read her card, and then he said, "Is she here?" And we said, "No, she had to go." And he said, "Okay." And then he called up the next person, but this is where he was confused. He called up the next person, and then he said, "Welcome, Brenda Miller." And then the clerk who had to swear people in called out the right name, and he went, "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah." Well, he did that, I think, 3 times in a row. So Brenda was introduced 3 times in the row. And then finally, it must have just been the pressure of the moment. So finally, he put her card under all the other cards. And at the very end, he called her one more time and said, "She's not here, but she's opposed." So even if you were not able to stay, the fact that you went and filled out a card and registered your position, it was noted. And it was noted graciously, and it was noted fully. So I want to commend anybody who attended any part of that hearing. Would you stand up for just a minute? I just want to commend you for that. Congratulations. Thank you so much. Thank you for participating. It really was a good lesson in civics. For a lot of the people, I think most of the people, it was the first time they'd ever been to a public hearing of any kind. And so it was a good experience for you. I also want to commend Luis Orantes, who not only filled out a blue card, but had the nerve to speak. And so he was called to speak. Luis, why don't you stand up for a minute? Thank you for being bold to do that. And he confidently and proudly identified himself as part of Beth Israel Messianic Synagogue and told everyone where we were and the kind of things that happen here and why it's important to him. And he also, I thought, demonstrated something else, which was a good sense of focus. He used the time of waiting to listen to all the other presentations carefully and decided to remind the commissioners of some of the things that had happened earlier. For instance, that there had been big discussions about issues of consistency of use. There were debates about new residential projects and should the land lots be 60 feet or 70 feet wide or 50 feet, you know? And there were arguments based on how wide the existing lots were around there. And there were a number of cases where the issue of consistency was focused on. And so Lewis brought that up, and he spoke to the importance of consistency and said that the proposed use is inconsistent with our neighborhood. He spoke clearly and incisively about it. And then he also took notice of the many cases where buffers were talked about. And he even described the definition of a buffer that protects antagonistic people and situations from one another and keeps them apart. And he said, there is no way to have a buffer around such a place in this location. So he spoke well, and I commend you, Lewis, for going forward and for doing that. I also spoke, and I'll tell you about that in a minute, but there was another group. Some of you watched the hearings on live streaming. And so if you did that, just stand up for a minute. Let me see how many people were able to do that. Very good. Several of you did that. I know some others as well. And so that was another way that you could participate. And I know you were praying as this was taking place. I'm also thankful to the larger business groups around us. For instance, the group for Deerwood Center, of which we're a part. So we're in a very important part of town called Deerwood Center. There are many, many businesses, schools of higher education, churches, and our synagogue in this neighborhood. And Deerwood Center Business Group hired an attorney and expert witnesses, and I can tell you this, they represented our interests very, very well. And so it felt good to be part of a greater community that had resources. Now, I didn't actually realize they were going to do that, but I was glad that they did it. And there was a good result. There were also a lot of churches that came, that sent representatives and sent, or their members just came on their own initiative. And it was really wonderful to have someone stand up there and to say, I'm from Holy Family Catholic Church, or from Deerwood Baptist Church, or from this school or that school, or from Beth Israel Messianic Synagogue. It was a good lesson in civics and in participatory democracy, because the believers who came, and the representatives of the schools that came, and the business owners that came with confidence that they had the right to speak and the expectation they would be heard. So I was excited about that. Now, I knew something going into this. I knew that there had been one piece of misinformation that had been conveyed to all of us. We had been informed about this through people who had said this was going to be an adult entertainment business, that's what the hearing was about. That is a very narrow use that includes nudity and alcohol consumption, I believe, or at least public nudity inside the building. It turned out that was not what they were applying for. They were applying technically for a dancing entertainment establishment serving alcohol, that combination. So it was a little bit different from what we had been informed, but before we got there, I had made sure that I understood the difference, and they made it clear that there was a difference in it. Nevertheless, it's a troublesome use. So I knew that the Planning Commission staff had thoroughly reviewed this and was presenting their recommendation that the request for the license for this business would be denied. So I had that confidence that they would make that recommendation. But that did not mean that the Planning Commission itself was bound to follow the recommendation. That's why it was so important for us to participate. Well, the good news is the Planning Commission voted unanimously to deny it. And they handled themselves so well. When it was finally time to vote, now remember, they had to pay attention from 1 o'clock until almost 11 o'clock. The rest of us could tune out, but they were there as volunteers. I want you to understand this. The people who actually vote serve without any compensation. They have a staff that is paid, of course, but they themselves are just volunteers who are serving our greater community. And they're restricted by the rules of law as to what criteria they can follow. They took the time at the end, before they voted, to allow every single commissioner to review the criteria, the evaluation, and their understanding of the criteria, and then to indicate their personal position. and they went one by one. It was so encouraging to me because it wasn't one of those votes where, you know, like they had taken earlier, you know, all in favor, aye, all against, aye. And then they just say, okay, you know, this is what happens. They took time. It was like a roll call process so that every person could register their own position. And I was really encouraged by that. Now, I want to tell you something. There can be an appeal to city council. This business has the right to go to city council and to appeal the decision. However, there will be no change of facts or interpretation going to city council. And so I don't think that they would have any victory. But if they go to an appeal at city council, we have to, again, take up our concern and make ourselves known. It is so important that we exercise the responsibilities of our citizenship. I want to speak to you about that. Because when we're talking about seeking the good of the city, we have to understand that that includes being responsible citizens. We live in a city where we have rights and we have responsibilities. So how do you do that? One way is you have to stay informed. You have to actually know what's going on. And you have to be accurately informed, so you have to have reliable sources of information. I took time to inform myself. I called the Planning Commission Thursday morning. I discussed the code, the applicable code, the issues around that, restrictions such as distance, which I found out existed for the adult entertainment license, but not for the dancing entertainment license. And so I tried to become really familiar with those things, and then I looked at cases like this that had come before the Planning Commission, and some that had been denied, one that had been denied a year ago, 2012, that actually was appealed to the City Council. So I was informed going into this. And then it's important to exercise your citizenship by praying for those in authority. The words of Paul to Timothy are so explicit. Pray for those in authority. Why? So that you may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness. Why? So not only is it good, but so that all people will have a chance to be impacted by the gospel through you. This is the reason. And we understood that this kind of business would disrupt the peace and disrupt the quietness of our neighborhood and those all around us. We heard from the representatives, an attorney for the bank next door to the proposed location, who cited crime statistics connected to this kind of business and said that they have an ATM that's open 24 hours a day, that's used, has a lot of use at night, and that they have a responsibility to protect their customers, and this would endanger their customers. We also have the responsibility to express our position to appropriate authorities. It's not enough to sit around the table at home or to talk to your friends and go, wah, 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 nah, nah, nah. We have to clearly express our position. And I can tell you this, writing a comment on an article on the internet is not enough. And if you read those comments, you'll understand that some Neanderthals often are the first to write. And so it's important not to confuse that kind of dialogue and social networking, which has some value, with actually expressing our position to appropriate authorities. You remember there was one point where Paul was arrested unjustly, and then he was released without due process when it was discovered that he had Roman citizenship. And they basically said, oh my gosh, he's a citizen. Sir, we apologize, you can go now. He said, we're gonna have a hearing. And he exercised his citizenship as a good demonstration for us. So another way that we can exercise citizenship is by attending public hearings and also by understanding the process so that you can know what to do yourself. Democracy and citizenship require this. We have to learn about such matters. We have to learn the laws, the processes. We have to take responsibility. And it is important not to assume the outcome. Now, a few weeks ago, I was talking about how you could find more time once you knew the outcome of a game on TV. You could just turn it off. And that was at a point where the Jags had a perfect record of 0 and everything. And so we had come into contact with someone who had flown to England, you know, to the game in London. And they were pretty tired when they came back. But I remember saying to Sandy, that person could not have expected a victory. They must have gone for another reason. But the good news is the Jags actually won one. Are you happy for that? Come on. That's good for our city that they would win, not lose, right? Especially if we're going to spend, is it $43 or $63 million on the world's largest scoreboards? So you're not happy to spend $63 million of your hard-earned money on? And I'm sure you let the city fathers know that, right? No. Right. Did you even know? No. So if you don't know, you can't even express your opinion. Right? Right. Okay. See what ignorance? If ignorance is bliss, you should be happy. But there's a price that you pay when you don't know what's going on in your own city, right? So it's important to be active. It's important not to assume the outcome, either a negative outcome or a positive outcome. Because when you assume a negative outcome, you start saying to yourself, my voice doesn't count. It doesn't matter what I do. I know it's easy sometimes for people to think, oh, it's the powers that be. The ones that have the most money, they're the ones that are going to get the victory. But don't give into that thinking. And it's very easy to say, it doesn't matter if I do anything, because it won't change anything. But the moment you do that, you actually surrender. And you become ineffective. If you're going to be victorious, you have to get into the battle. That's the way it is. Can you imagine wanting to be a champion boxer, but you don't want to get into the ring? I am the world's greatest. No, I don't want to fight. You could get hurt. Exactly. If you want to be victorious, you have to compete. You have to get into the battle. The moment you say your own voice doesn't count, it's a way of saying, I give up. There's nothing I can do. I can't be used in any way. But I want to tell you, each one of us has a part, and I commend every one of you who did anything. It's important to know your part and then to do it. And I'll give an example from my own experience. I knew what I was supposed to prepare for. I took time to pray, to get informed. I wrote out what I was going to say, and I was fully prepared, and I was comfortable with that. Very comfortable and ready. And I had timed what I had prepared. It was 1 minute, 29 seconds. You're given 3 minutes, so I thought, this is good. Unfortunately, when we were at the hearing and the attorney for the show bar, bikini bar, whatever you would call it, when he spoke, I said that they call it that because the city code hasn't yet come up with a section for sleaze bar. But when I heard the argument of the attorney for the businessmen, I felt something from the Holy Spirit telling me to challenge what the attorney was saying. That was not what I was prepared to do. In the whole time of preparation, it never occurred to me to do that. But after he spoke, while he was speaking, I thought, now I wish I was an attorney. And that I had a chance to speak as an attorney to what he was saying, that they'd give me 15 minutes or a half an hour. But I had notes about what I wanted to say, but no notes whatsoever about what I needed to say. And so there was a moment when I thought, well, I'm going to be nervous doing this because I'm going to call out this guy's name and speak about the things he said. And then he was not in the room, and I said, Sandy, is he gone? I couldn't decide if I was better off with him not being there because I'd be more comfortable. But I actually felt, nah, I want him to hear it. Whatever. And so he was there when it was time for me to speak. But I knew I was going to be nervous speaking because I had no notes. I didn't know exactly where to start, where to end, or how many points I could make. And that made me nervous. I like to know the beginning, the middle, and the end in some way in a situation like that, especially when you've only got 3 minutes and a timer and a buzzer and all of that. So I knew I was going to be nervous. And you know what? That's okay. For some people, the fact that you become nervous in a situation is all it takes to stop you from doing anything. Now, I decided I was not going to let that stop me. I've done a lot of things that make me uncomfortable. And I've learned something. Just because it makes me nervous doesn't mean it should not be done. And so I decided it's okay if I get up there and I'm nervous because I don't have any notes. I don't know what I'm going to say next, or even what sentences I'm going to use, or how I'm going to feel when I call out this attorney's name. I did debate, because his name was Sanders. I did debate misspeaking and calling him Colonel Sanders. I didn't do it. I thought, that's funny, but I can use that in the message instead of in front of them. So I knew I would be nervous, and I decided I would comment about the attorney because he'd spoken with real confidence and real certainty, but it was actually arrogance. And he said to the commission that the only option that they had was to grant the license in order to recognize the constitutional right to First Amendment free speech on the part of their clients, his client. And he even used this term, your hands are tied. This is what you must do. I had read about the application that had been denied in 2012 and then went to city council. And I read carefully something that was said in the city council decision. It said that according to the plan, the master plan for Jacksonville, when a business or an organization wants an exception, they have to prove the benefits that will come to the neighbors. And so I had that, I had pulled it, I sent copies of that to several people to review it, to make sure I was reading it correctly. It was very clear. It was explicit. And I decided I would use that because I noticed something. This attorney never spoke about the benefits. So when I got up, even though I felt a little bit nervous, I said, I'm a rabbi, not an attorney, but I'm a pretty good listener. And let me tell you what I think Mr. Sanders said to you. He said, you have no right to regulate this matter. And you know he's wrong. And I encourage you to take action and let the court settle it if necessary, but be courageous and take action today. And then I said, I listened very carefully and I noticed what he didn't say. He never spoke about the benefits to our neighborhood. And there's a reason. He knows there are none. And he unwittingly confirmed the adverse and detrimental effects when he made comments, sarcastic comments about crime. And then there was one other thing that had caught my attention. Because at the very beginning, when he was trying to frame this as a free speech issue, he basically said, I know this is morally reprehensible and repugnant to us all. And so I said, so Mr. Sanders actually confirms what we all know, that this is morally reprehensible. It's repugnant to us. Well, I don't know, but I just had to say all that to them. And then to encourage them to take the recommendation of their own planning commission staff, the professionals, to follow their thoroughly researched and documented position and to deny that. And so I said that, and this is what was interesting to me, is in the last few minutes that the attorney, Mr. Sanders, had to rebut everything that was said, he again insulted everyone and said that the people who were attending, of course, don't know how these things really work, and they give their opinion, which is irrelevant because this is a matter of law, and these are not experts. And then he said, even one gentleman didn't understand, because he said, we have to prove that there's a benefit. And we don't have to prove that. And I thought, hallelujah. Caught the attorney in his own ignorance. And so it actually encouraged me, because I understood as long as he perseveres in that thinking, he will lose time and time again. So those of you who participated in any way, those of you who talked to me and gave me background information, thank you. Thank you for that. Because I thought it was important just to speak up. Even though I was nervous, I felt it was important. And to encourage the commission to do what was necessary. And I don't want to say anything more about my own remarks or the attorney. But what I want to tell you is that we did have a victory. But it's a limited victory in a certain way, and I want you to be aware of it. Here's why. If that business group does not serve alcohol, they already have the right to open up that kind of bikini dancing euphemism establishment. They could do that tomorrow. And if they want to fight in court over it, they might do that in order to establish something. If that happens, I don't think they'll make any money. But it won't be good for the neighborhood, even without the alcohol. Even though they have the right already to do that, it won't be good for the neighborhood. And one of the reasons is it will set a precedent for other kinds of businesses to come in. We discovered something, that the fact that there are no businesses like that serving alcohol with this kind of, quote, entertainment, that is a reason why the commission denied the application, which tells us if one is allowed, then more will come. And in fact, the last speaker at the public hearing emphasized this. She was not from our area, from our neighborhood, but from the Emerson Street area. And she said, I'm here to tell you something, that we're suffering because of this. Because it's not just one, but there are several of these in our neighborhood and several other places in town like that. And where there's one, there can be many because of issues of precedent and consistency. And so you and I need to not just be glad, oh, we had a victory. We need to be concerned about how to stand in the gap for other neighborhoods that already are blighted in a way. We need to pray. We need to ask God for his strategies. We need to understand what we ourselves can do. And you might say, well, this doesn't affect me. Yes, it does. Seek the good of the city that you have been called to, that you are living in. Pray for it. Seek the peace and the prosperity of the city. Because if you do that, it will be good for you. Don't just seek the good of your family. Seek the good of the whole. That'll be good for your family. This is a principle that has helped the Jewish people since the time of Babylon. because we have been dispersed all over the world in hostile environments, in places that did not always treat us respectfully, kindly, or even allowed us to live or to stay. And yet, our people have embraced this concept. And it is so important that we in this era learn to do it too. That we learn to stand up, that we learn to pray, that we learn to be an influence for good. Do not say your voice doesn't count. You know what God is looking for? People who will say, "Hineni, here I am, send me." So that's my prayer for you, that you would have such a response, that you would understand that we had a victory, but we need to enlarge the victory in many different ways, not just for us, but for those in other parts of our city too. Now, if you have a heart for that, you can pray with me right now. Lord, we thank you for this victory, but we want to secure it if it's appealed, and we want to secure it if it goes to court, and we actually, Lord, want to extend this victory even further. And so we pray, Lord, give us opportunity to be useful for other parts of the city. Give us, Lord, compassion and concern for every neighborhood in the city and for the surrounding areas too, that we could exercise responsible citizenship here and as citizens of the kingdom of God. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise if you're by yourself? Move around so that you're not alone. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yisam lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom so that you might seek the shalom of our city. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Pick up your children quickly.
Shabbat shalom. Pick up your kids quickly.